All right, good evening. Welcome to the broadcast. Glad you are with us. We're going to be joined tonight by Colonel John Mills. Aaron, you guys know Aaron who joins us from Israel? Well, tonight he's in the studio. Aaron is in the studio. He is here in the United States. He's been here about 3 weeks. He's just made it to the Mid-South today, and he'll be with me right next to me here in the studio tonight. He just arrived to our studio, so he'll be with us. We'll be joined by Ivan Raiklin a little bit later, and we'll see what else we have planned tonight. Maybe grab another person or two. Just depends on the time. I want to make sure I leave enough time for Aaron since he came all this way from Israel to be here in our WVW Lindell TV studios. Well, joining me first up is Colonel John Mills. He is, as you guys know, retired military, but served on the National Security Council for two presidents in the White House and very key positions in the Department of Defense. I had him on my radio show / television show at 1 p.m. Central Time today for a whole hour. We do not have time to plow the ground that we plowed today at 1 o'clock Central. Hopefully it has been put up online over there at WVWTV.com. And frankspeech.com, I don't know. I'll check real quick to see if it's there yet. But if it isn't, it'll get there pretty quick. I don't see it, but it'll get there pretty quick. And you should watch it. You should watch the whole hour because what we went into, wowza, related to the Chinese balloon, what they're doing, the bases they went on, what over, what they're collecting, why they would do that, and are they preparing for war and maybe an imminent attack? An EMP attack, other things. In fact, I asked Colonel Mills if he thought we are living in a time now more dangerous than the Cuban Missile Crisis. And he said yes. He joins us tonight on a different topic, and that is what's going on with all these bioweapon labs in Ukraine? What's the connection to the Biden clan, the Obama clan, the deep state, if any? And how is this fitting in with the laundering of money, perhaps, if at all? And then, was President Donald Trump onto this? Did he sense something was up? Is that why they were trying to impeach him and get rid of him? Was he about to uncover massive, massive crimes from key people in our U.S. government related to Ukraine? We'll try to get at least to some of it. It's very complicated. And I called him today and said, we need to try to understand this in layman terms. Can you help us? He joins us now, Colonel John Mills. Colonel, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Brandon, hey, always an honor to be with you.
And, you too.
Going back really quickly to the Chinese balloon story, you know, there was a press conference today with General Van Herk, who I've mentioned a number of times, commander of NORAD NORTHCOM, who did admit there has been situational awareness gaps. Now, of course...
Explain what that means to the lay people.
Well, to the lay people, that means you can't see. We do not have perfect radar coverage. This is, sounds shocking, but on especially on the oceanic approaches on each side of the United States, we do not have perfect radar coverage. We would go broke trying to provide perfect radar coverage.
Which you remember? Do you remember? Oh, of course you do. Of course you do, because you were in office when the Chinese sub reportedly launched a missile headed out to sea while President Obama was out of the country. Remember that?
Yes. We just don't have perfect... and especially
okay, can you not comment?
War,
you just brushed over that. Can you not comment on that because of the jobs you were in at the time?
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we don't have... We'll never have perfect situational awareness. But what I take offense to is Jake the Snake Sullivan, the National Security Advisor, for Biden says, oh, we've been able to improve and we're able to see things that Trump wasn't able to see. And I go, oh, really? Like what? Name one thing the Biden team has done to improve situational awareness. I think that is an out and out lie. I want to know with precision, name a system that has been installed that provides better coverage, especially on the Aleutian Islands. I want to know. If Jake is going to make this claim, he needs to provide details. He can't just make these smarmy little claims. Oh, we can see better than Trump could see. You know, I mean, come on, give me a break. This is childish.
Well, when that incident happened several years ago that I referenced, I called up a guy, retired general, General Jim Cash, former deputy assistant director of operations at NORAD. And if you guys go onto my website, I think put in General Jim Cash, you'll find that interview from the, you know, during the Obama years. And he came on my radio show and said, look, if we get one of these subs off our coast in California and they decide to shoot a missile, we're going to have a very difficult time seeing it and much less knocking it down. And that's right off of our coast, as you were just saying, which, of course, this is what makes an EMP attack by a cargo container, a freighting ship. You know, this is why Iran's been practicing shooting a EMP off of a freighter since like 1998. And last year or year before actually showed video of a missile launching system on a freighter. I mean, this is how dangerous it is. But the American people, most of them have, unless they watch shows like this, have no clue that tomorrow our power grid could go down and may never come back up.
Right, right. Well, and one thing General Van Herk said at the Aspen Institute in June of last year, and the Aspen Institute is kind of the it's kind of the Davos of America. I'm not sure the Aspen Institute has a summer shindig that is the thing to go to, at least I thought in the past. But one thing he said specifically was his inability to have undersea situational awareness. Now, we used to have a lot of undersea capability during the Cold War, and with the SOSUS system, which the term is not classified, but the exact details, it was a wonderful system that essentially pre-placed grids in the ocean that allowed us to detect with great fidelity and helped us to cue our sub-hunting capabilities, such as the P-3 Orion, to immediately hone in on a Soviet sub approaching the United States. Well, guess what? Those things cost a fortune. And during the peace dividend, that was one of the first things. Well, the Soviets have collapsed. There is no submarine threat. Retire that thing or we're going to go broke. And that was one of the things in the 90s that much of it was done away with because it was very expensive to maintain those. I'm pretty sure what Van Herk was referencing when he says, I don't have it. And so I think that's very important. And I was part of a gathering in February of 2020 where we addressed a number of these matters, and then the Wuhan virus hit and the rest is history. But so it's this, I took great offense to Jake has to play politics. Just man up, be honest, and don't say, oh, we can see better than Trump could see. This is a very serious matter. He needs to provide with fidelity exactly what new systems he's talking about, because I'm going, I don't know what he's talking about. What has changed? I don't think we've installed any new radars, any new capabilities. Like, oh, it's classified, we can't talk about it. What a bunch of hooey.
I got to keep moving quick so I can get it all in tonight. But you said on my radio show today, TV show today, that we'll post online at WVWTV.com and Frank Speech later today, tonight, that you believe we're in as dangerous a time or maybe even more than Cuban Missile Crisis?
I would say more so. And don't forget, during the October 73 war, there are some who would say we came closer to nuclear war at that time. Because the Soviets had nukes in ships in harbor in Egypt that they were threatening to unload and put into operational use to start hurling nukes. So, but the 73 or 1963 during the Cuban Missile Crisis, we had decisive nuclear overmatch. Now, we didn't necessarily realize it at the time. The Soviets were playing a lot of smoke and mirrors, and it turns out a lot of what they were saying they had, they didn't have. They didn't have the bomber force, nowhere close to it. They had lots of scary-looking missiles for parade in Moscow, but a lot of them weren't operational, a lot of them were not reliable, and a lot of their subs were loud, noisy, and easy to track. So we had decisive overmatch, even though we didn't realize it during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We do not have decisive overmatch in today's times in terms of nuclear weapons. We've talked about this in great detail. We have a very tired elderly, nothing wrong with being tired or elderly. I know the feeling, but we have a very tired and elderly nuclear stockpile, and we're way behind the game on this. We've got to pick up the pace. We got to turn into essentially a sprint and a dash with modernizing our nuclear triad, not just the delivery systems, the actual nuclear warheads. We haven't turned a new nuke since, I think, about 92. That is a long time ago.
Absolutely. All right, let's move into this. I was reading this article today, Clandestine. I think this is like a bioweapon whistleblower or something. I'm not saying this is all true. I don't know, but it's a very interesting read, and he is providing a lot of pictures. He's providing a lot of screenshots for what he's saying. I sent this to you today and asked you to read through it and try to help us lay people understand what is he talking about and others. What are they talking about? And he says, now that I have everyone's attention, allow me to address why U.S. establishment politicians are sending tanks, jets, weapons, equipment, and $100+ billion to Ukraine. It has nothing to do with Ukrainian citizens and everything to do with deep state assets, secrets in Ukraine. Then he starts going into bio labs, flashback to 2005. Then Senator Obama and Senator Lugar visited former Soviet biological chemical facilities in Ukraine and established the U.S. deep state roots in Ukraine. All right. Can you tell me what's going on here?
Well, this is originally when I started hearing about all during the initial phases of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, I started hearing about a lot of these social media postings of biolabs in the Ukraine. And I said, well, that's a bunch of silly Q nonsense. And it's just ridiculous. Except it turned out to be correct.
Well, here's a headline right here. He's showing a screenshot of U.S. to aid Ukraine in countering bioweapons.
Well, I one of the first things I did is I immediately went to the U.S. Embassy Kyiv website. And guess what? It had all the information for the biolab. And I started going, what is going on? And a lot of this stuff doesn't come out of thin air. There was the 1992 Nunn-Lugar Act. It was actually 1991. Now, at the time, it made sense. What happened was there was the whole purpose of Nunn-Lugar was essentially a jobs program, provide employment and activities for all of the Soviet scientists who had been working on weapons of mass destruction. After a nation collapses, the last thing you want to do is people who know how to make weapons of mass destruction be unemployed, because what are they naturally going to do? They're going to start looking for employment, and somebody's going to start paying them, i.e. like worldwide terrorism, like, countries we can't trust. You know, if you're an unemployed engineer who knows how to make a nuclear weapon and mount it on a delivery system, the first people who are going to come knocking on your door is probably going to be North Korea. That's a very bad idea. So 92 Nunn-Lugar made some logical sense at the beginning. But even by the late 90s, the Cato Institute released a report and said Nunn-Lugar has very little oversight on what's going on. And remember, the original Nunn-Lugar was not just Ukraine. It was the entire Soviet Union, including Russia. And Russia did not actually drop out until 2015. That's not too long ago. So Russia was actually involved in this. Now, where things definitely went south, and this is where we need to start the congressional investigations, was 2005. During the Bush years, there was an update to Nunn-Lugar, the 2005 update. And it increased the funding, but most of the funding, DOD kind of started to become a very junior partner in the game. It was really Department of Energy and State Department. A lot of money with not a whole lot of oversight. And so bad things happen when you have lots of money with little oversight, little definition, little guidance on what you're supposed to be doing with it. So yes, in 2005, Nunn-Lugar went off the rails and became who knows what. And this is the genesis and the true and accurate history of the biolab in the Ukraine and other places around the world. Now, I'm not saying it was all necessarily bad or mischievous up front, but as time went on, and I was inside government when the invasion took place after the Sochi Olympics, which was apparently beautiful, and everybody's hooray, hey, wonderful Sochi Olympics, and then Putin turns around and invades the Ukraine. Now, a lot of us, we get a little confused here. Putin is not a good person. No matter what, he is not a good person. We had an opportunity to settle things and become good friends with Russia in the 90s. Madeleine Albright made sure that didn't happen. Time has gone on. That's in the past. We can't do anything about it. Putin is not a good person. Ukraine has a lot of corruption. That's exploited by a lot of people. But when the invasion happened, and I was inside government, that the Obama administration was really almost, they were almost annoyed. Why do we, the Russians are invading. What does Ukraine have to do with us? We're just, this Ukraine thing is a total, and what remember the, and I think 2005 update also turned Ukraine into a proxy against Russia. Again, I'm not saying Putin is still a bad person. But that's where, maybe, I don't know, because I was not really involved in this part of activities. But something definitely started happening. But initially, Obama Biden's were very annoyed and just found the whole Ukraine thing a distraction. But things started to turn around, I would say, about 2015, 2016. What they saw, I think, was opportunity for mischievous behavior. Because remember, this is historically accurate. These are not wild assertions. Haiti has become an absolute fraud, waste, and abuse, and the Clintons definitely used the tragedy and the ongoing tragedy that continues to this day in Haiti as a money laundering operation, where everybody could NGOs could donate all this money. It goes to the Haiti, and who knows where it goes? And it goes back out. Remember, we can.
So you're saying are you saying the Clintons and their cronies were using Haiti to launder money to their favorite people? They're well-known in their non-government organizations, their different groups, and then money's coming back to groups that benefit the Clintons, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
so and now can, the Biden-Obama crew.
We can thank McCain-Feingold and campaign finance reform for helping. Remember, never, ever trust a nice-sounding piece of legislation, whether it's the Helping American Vote Act or McCain-Feingold, campaign finance reform. I remember my mom, God rest her soul, was, oh, this is so good. We have campaign finance reform. It made it worse. It made it far worse. And they leveraged that. McCain-Feingold. McCain was part of the problem.
Because it made it worse, because then people started looking for ways to get that same money to their candidates, even if it meant doing illegal things.
It set up several things. Essentially, the political action committee structure, C4s. It made it very murky. It said, where they're supporting a cause and a policy, not a candidate. Well, but there's really no oversight to determine or really ascertain that.
So let me explain what I think you're saying. If you have government money going from American taxpayers to Haiti, and you have a 501c4 over there doing work for the, quote, cause, let's say, humanitarian aid. Doing work for the humanity or whatever the cause is. So this government money gets shoved over there to this group, right? And then all of a sudden that group launders that money, cleans it through whatever means, and kicks it back to groups that are associated as PACs or whatever for their favorite politician, right?
Yeah, it goes to Haiti to a C3. The C3 says, and I've done some humanitarian assistance work on a large scale as part of U.S. government operations. So it's I understand the basics on the banking and the finance. So the C3 says, oh, okay, we received $1 million to support the poor, pathetic people of Haiti. Well, we got to put this in a proper bank. We're going to go to Panama, and we're going to put it in a proper bank in Panama. And then, that $1 million, we're going to spend maybe about 50,000 of it in Haiti. And then the rest of it just kind of sits there. But then parts of it kind of get deployed out of that bank in Panama to a bank in Malta, or a bank in Cyprus, or a bank in the Ukraine, or a bank in Russia. And then it gets transferred to another bank, and then it gets transferred to an organization, then it gets transferred to a C4, or it goes to Soros, or it something like that. Yeah, this is a game. There is no mechanism. U.S. Treasury Department is not tasked and has no capability and no mission to look at this. So
that happened in Haiti. So that happens in Haiti.
That happened in Haiti.
And the Obama-Biden administration sees nothing about Ukraine that looks all that interesting until they realize we can play some games over here. Then all of a sudden, voila, 2015, 2016, they start doing stuff before Trump comes in.
Yeah, because I was inside, and I actually volunteered to be part of the Ukrainian support mission in 2014. And but I, by that time, I was already targeted, as it shows in my book. I was already targeted by the Obama Biden folks, and they go, "Oh, John, that's very nice. We really don't want you over in the Ukraine. You know, you're not needed over there because things are changing a little bit. We're doing things a little bit differently. So why don't you just stay here in the Pentagon?" And, "Oh, really? What's going on over the Ukraine?" And I think they were starting to realize, well, Haiti was such a wonderful model for the Clintons, let's pour gas all over it in the Ukraine. And the Ukraine was historically been, and again, everybody says Zelensky is WEF, right? Putin went to WEF training too. And so just because Zelensky, an important part, remember, they looked at Ukraine as bad because the Bushies were using Ukraine to stick it to the Russians. And in the Orange Revolution, and it really annoyed the Russians. So because the Bushies liked Ukraine, they said, "Well, we don't want Ukraine initially," until they said, "Okay, well, let's get that previous elements out of power. We'll bring in our people in the Ukraine, and then we can start to turn on this Haiti model. And then we can start to flow things. And then we can kind of put it on the roulette wheel and spin it around, and then it popped out, and who knows where it goes." And then, and again, there was always a lot of organized crime in the
And how does that fit? How does that fit with Biden saying that, you know, "I gave him 6 hours, you know, to fire that prosecutor. Are there be no?" How does that fit with all this?
Yeah, I mean, that was part of the game. The Bidens and Hunter and his dad were all over the Ukraine playing games with their people that they had installed after they threw out the Orange Revolution folks. And this started to be a real Disneyland, and there was lots of organized crime, lots of Russian organized crime in the Ukraine. It was a mess. It's a total mess. But that's where they really turned it on and said, "Hey, if you thought Haiti was good, you're going to love the Ukraine."
And by the way, I'm guessing that people on both sides of the aisle were getting some of this slush money, right?
I would say there was benefactors on both sides. I would say it primarily benefited the blue side, but I don't think the reds, the rhinos were totally without sin on this either.
Okay.
I think there was.
So for the sake of speed, what do we know about this? This guy tweets this again. I've asked you if you could look into this. Metabiota thread produces bioagents under diplomatic cover at, quote, secret labs, then sells pandemic insurance and trackers to help countries get ahead of what they're putting out. Company part of Pentagon's DRTA, I'm guessing that's DARPA program, right?
Defense Threat Reduction Agency.
Okay.
If he says DRTA, it should be.
No, he said he has DRTA. Yep.
Yeah, so that's a typo on his part.
Okay. And as funded by Rosemont Seneca, which is Hunter Biden. So what can you help us in layman terms very quickly explain if there's any truth to this and what this is all about?
Yeah. Well, this is the problem. It was a lot of money with very little congressional oversight, and that's where the blue team saw opportunity. Lots of money, little oversight in a strange foreign place. And so we're going to start the laundering process where it gets handed from hand to hand to hand. And then, oh, we're going to bring in, yeah, Rosemont Seneca under a DTRA contract, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, which has several missions in many ways. And on the surface, it's a very good agency. But it was a part of this biolab activity. But again, in 2005, I'm not absolving DOD. But a lot of the activities started pivoting toward Department of Energy and State, and DOD's role started to decline in this whole endeavor. But that's where, again, a lot of money at Department of Energy, a lot of money at State. State is never good on the program management side of the house. So whenever State Department of State gets a lot of money, be careful. You got to have a very aggressive inspector general process, because Department of State, they're not good program managers. That most of them like to be policy types. They don't want to actually run a program. They just want to be able to pontificate in fake British accents. And so you give a lot of money to State, watch out.
Can you validate this chart right here on the screen? Have you been able to study this and validate any of this? Are you there, John?
Yeah. Now I'm looking at that. I need to study. I'll be honest. I need to study it some more, because a lot of these mechanics that they are showing here, I don't know about a lot of these details. But because of the total lack of oversight. If somebody can put together something like this, it's better than what we have publicly anywhere else, because there's very little reporting and oversight on this funding in the updated Nunn-Lugar Act. If somebody took the time to put this together, I would pay attention, because initially I scoffed at the whole biolab thing until, right on our own U.S. government, U.S. Embassy Kyiv, and they took it down just a few days ago. It's been up for almost a year. I'm going, this is crazy. Right on our own embassy website, we have all this information about these biolabs. And I'm going, it's 2021. The Soviet Union collapsed, 31 years ago. I mean, how long are we going to do this jobs program for all these WMD scientists? Why are we having biolabs at this point in time? And it ties in, the Obama-Biden folks always love to do these pandemic exercises for some reason. I never understood it. I mean, they love to do those things. So it all, that line and block diagram, I can't necessarily confirm it, but I'm not gonna deny it either.
So again, this looks like a major slush fund for the deep state, the globalists, big government, big business, pharmaceutical companies working in concert with, some within the Department of Defense groups and, different government agencies, where there's a revolving door, by the way. So
little oversight. The key term is little oversight, and shame on Congress. Shame on Congress for allowing this to happen. This is, you cannot give money out with little guidance and little oversight.
And you were telling me this afternoon when I was talking on the phone that if the Republican Congress were to, really work hard to use the power of the law, they could force the Treasury, the U.S. Treasury, to investigate all this. And the U.S. Treasury, within a matter of weeks, could track all the money. They're very good at this, right?
Yes. Yeah. The Treasury, a lot of people don't understand the role of the Treasury. And they are one of the decisive tools. Tools in the toolkit on shutting down when there's a threat, when the president declares it, when it comes to countering extremist financing. They are good, and they have great capabilities, and they can precisely track and interdict these financial flows. But they don't have the mission or the guidance or the direction to do this at this point in time. I know a number of these folks personally. They are a huge asset, and they need to be tasked and directed to start tracking some of these money flows. What happened? I don't think we mentioned it. This is where FTX and crypto was also part of the stew of illicit activities. Throw in cryptocurrency, another scam. On top of the updated Nunn-Lugar from 2005, on top of the organized crime, on top of all the NGOs, I mean, this was the largest international money laundering scheme in modern history, and we need to expose this.
And Donald Trump must have smelled something, right? And that's why
Absolutely.
He started making phone calls and doing investigations, a little bit cursory investigations, maybe deeper than we know. But my guess is Donald Trump knows a lot more than he has said, but he knew something was up, and that's why they had to use that call and try to impeach him, because he was about to undercover, I think, massive fraud from the former president, vice president, different people, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. This is essentially the place where the modern deep state enriched itself, essentially created the pandemic, or at least learned how to leverage it. But their fingers were in a bio research and perhaps a gain of function research, and with some of this tied and transferred to Wuhan. I am sure of it. This just the reality is, again, a lot of appropriated funds with very little congressional oversight. So shame on Congress for allowing this slush fund to exist. But then you throw in cryptocurrency, you throw in everything else. You throw in Panama, you throw in Malta, you throw in Cyprus. I mean, this is how the deep state lives. And this is financially where we need to cut the head off the Hydra, besides securing our counties and taking care of Maricopa.
And this is exactly, by the way, what Andrew Jackson warned about in his March 4th, 1837 farewell address. When you rob the treasury, expand the size of government, have paper money, can expand it, this kind of thing will happen. It will encourage corruption, and it will steal from the American people, devalue their currency, and voila, now you're paying a fortune for gas and food, for housing, for rent, while the deep state absolutely enriches themselves and becomes richer and richer and richer while they steal the American people's money out of the treasury. This is exactly what Andrew Jackson and others came along and warned about. Eisenhower with his military-industrial complex speech. John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, and warning about some of these groups. We could also say that other presidents warned about this kind of thing as well. Truman warned about it in his December 1963 op-ed to the Washington Post on how the CIA was not what he intended to create and was very troubled by that. And that got squashed in any reprints. So we were warned, but now look at where we're at. And the taxpayer, the citizens, and the poor in America are the ones paying the price with massive inflation. And inflation, of course, always hurts the poor and the middle class the most.
Well, right. It was Rasmussen in August of last year that said, is there a deep state? 84% of the respondents. And Rasmussen is a pretty high credibility. 84% said there is definitely a deep state, or there is definitely a possibility of a deep state. Only 16% dismissed. So that means it's 84% of us versus 16% of them. So it is a enriched micro minority that lives a good life. Most Americans are just trying to make sense out of life, just trying to raise their families, just trying to go to church, just trying to praise God. And they're being abused by this corrupt 16%.
Indeed. All right, thenationwillfollow.com, thenationwillfollow.com. I know we went longer than the 20 minutes we said. You've done how many media hits today?
I think this is number 7.
Oh, wow. Thenationwillfollow.com. The book is there. You can see it behind his shoulder. He was there involved in government when the deep state wanted him to looking at some paperwork to maybe stop President-elect Trump from ever being sworn in or delay it. He writes all about the deep state because he saw it on front row seat and what Jim Comey at the FBI, Brennan at the CIA were up to. And it's all in his page turner, The Nation Will Follow at thenationwillfollow.com. Correct, Colonel?
Yes, Brent, and I was called on the NSA top secret phone and said, John, you got to help us out because we want to finalize the Russian story and stop or delay Trump's inauguration in January of 2017. And there was already several things that had happened over 2016. I knew Donald J. Trump was right. I was a Cruz guy. I was a Ted Cruz guy, but I realized Donald J. Trump spoke truth and he was real. He was the only thing. And they're not after Donald J. Trump. They're after us. Donald J. Trump is just in the way. So just like Churchill came back when Great Britain was in a time of need after the total fecklessness of Chamberlain, they brought Churchill back. And that's what we need to figure out a way is to get Trump back in office because we are on the precipice of a world cataclysm. And only Trump will be able to lead us on that.
Wow. Colonel Mills, thenationwillfollow.com. As always, thank you, Colonel.
Brandon, thank you. Always an honor to be with you.
You as well, my friend. Colonel John Mills checking in. By the way, he might be a keynote speaker at our Ozarks Worldview Weekend next October. How many of you would like to hear him speak in person and meet him? Well, we've asked him to pencil that in on his calendar. I'll get to confirming that real soon.